We are up to the we are middle of sukkah from the Radak. We did not yet do the parish of the Radak on Perek Chof Tes. Pasik, let's just read the sukkah very quickly. Pasik Chof Dalit, a little chazara. V'el Shemayo Hanechelami Toymar Lemar Tu Shemayo Hanechelami. You shall say as follows. So yesterday in the Mamloes, there are different interpretations of why he was called Hanechelami. Some say it's the name of a place. That's probably the simplest interpretation. But some want to suggest is that it comes from the word chaloim. He was a dreamer. Okay, so he was known for his dreams, and that's why he's called Hanechelami. Pasuk of Hey Koyim Hashem Tzvokas. I'm just going to read the pasuk very quickly because we did it yesterday. Koyim Hashem Tzvokas Lokei Yisrael Leimor Yana Shirato Sholachta Vishimcha. You have sent in your name Sifarim El Kol Ha'om Hashem Yerushalayim Vil Sifanim Ben Maaseyo Hakohen Vil Kol Hakohenim Leimor. And by the way, I just begin looking at the Mamloes. The Mamloes says that Sifanim Ben Maaseyo was a tzaddik. We should not get the impression from these psukim that Sefania was influenced by Shemayahu. He was not. Shemayahu ben Hanechelami sent a letter to Sefania, but Sefania did not pay any attention. In fact, he warned Yirmiyah of what people are planning and plotting. Okay, he warned them what they are planning and plotting behind his back. So Tzifanya, you should not get that impression. Hashem, in the son of Takas Yehoyada HaKohen, Hashem has appointed you a coin in the place of Yehoyada HaKohen. Now, this is not to be confused, the famous Yehoyada, the famous Zechariah ben Yehoyada. That was way, way before. That was over 200 years ago. Zechariah was another that was murdered in the Beis HaMikdash, whose blood was bubbling, whose blood bubbled in the Beis HaMikdash for 200 years until Nebuzaradan came along and saw the blood bubbling, and he did not understand why, and he made the people tell him what's the reason. They didn't want to tell him until he discovered on his own. He was killed, he was murdered in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos Yom Kippur when he was telling the people not to worship about the Zara. And when he died, he said, Yera Hashem v'yidroish. And indeed, because they murdered him, over a million people were killed on the spot where his blood bubbled to appease his blood by Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan was so frightened what he did, he became a Ger Tzedek in response to that entire sequence of events. But I want to point out that this person, Yehoyada HaKohen, is not to be confused with Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Ben Yehoyada indeed was the Kohen Gadol. And here, if you don't know the history, you think it's the same person. It's definitely not. It's almost 200 years later. And Yehoyada was the son of the Kohen Gadol who went into Galus. Yehoyada HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol. He didn't just die. He was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar together with Yechoniah. The Golos of Yechoniah, 11 years before the Korban, along with him went the Choresh v'Hamasker and the leaders. Mm-hmm. Who was the leader? One of the leaders was Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol. Who was put in his place? Tzifanya. Tzifanya was not related to Yehoyada. Yehoyada was taken to Golos, and he actually died in Golos, but his son Yehoshua, the son of Yehoyada, he indeed made Aliyah many years later. He was the first Kohen Gadol in the time of the Bayis Sheni. So Yehoyada's legacy survived with his son, and Sefania's replacement actually died out. Okay, so therefore you have the authority, Leos Pekidim Beis Hashem, you have the authority. Part of your job is, part of the power of position is to appoint the cabinet, to appoint all of the officers, l'chol ish mishugo misnabei, to make sure that there are no loose cannons. No loose cannons in Monklal Yisrael giving over words of prophecy that are false. He's here insulting Yirmiyah. V'nosatoi so el hamapeches v'el hatzinok. And it's your duty to put these people into two different types of prisons. As we said, yes, a prison to protect people from society and a prison to protect these people from themselves. The mapeches is from society, that's the chamber, and the tzinoik is the restraints. Viatua now, lama lo go'alta, lama go'arta, why did you not? Lama lo go'arta bi Yirmiyah ha'ansosi, why did you not rebuke Yirmiyah ha'ansosi, ha'mesnabi lechem ha'kein shlach leinu bavel leimar, arucha hi. What has he said? He said that it's arucha, that you're going to be here for a very long time. Benuvatim, Yirmiyah has told us that we're going to be for 70 years. Benuvatim, Beshevu, Nidutu, Gans, Vyichlu, Eskiryam, Vayikot, Svani, Hakoinis, Asefer, Zeb, Yazna, Yirmiyah, Hanavi. Vayi Devar Hashem, Vayi Devar Hashem, El Yirmiyah, Lemer, Shlach, Al Kol, Al Goyle, Lemer, Koim Hashem, El Shemaya, Hanechelami. Did we do this yesterday? Yes, we did. We definitely did this yesterday. Yana shlach el kol hagol alim koyam hashem al shmaya hanechalamik. Yana sher nibolochem shmaya vanilo shlach. The way they never sent him. Vay yaftach eschem al shoger lochein koyam hashem hini foykein al shmaya hanechalamik v'alzar v'lo yelo ish yoshei besocha am hazeh. He will not have any children that will return from the galus. Because he spoke false. Okay, that's a very quick review. Let's go back and see the Radak. The Radak, let's start from Pasuk Chav Dalet in the Radak. Ha-nechelami, nikwa l'kein l'fi shohaya, choyleim lohem chalema sheyashuvu mehera l'Yerushalayim. Indeed, that's the parish that I told you before. He was called ha-nechelami because it comes from the word chalayim. Pasuk Chav, and the Targum says, ha-nechelami dimin cholam. The Targum says it's the name of a city. So either he was a dreamer, or we are defining his geographical location. Pasuk Hafein Radak b'Shimcha, you sent letters in your own name. Kosov Behei, it would say, we would expect the pasuk to say b'Shim. I'm not sure. At the Hey at the end, that's the feminine form. K'mo Asher Tzivisi O Socha. There are many different expressions where you had the word shame and we add a hey at the end. Pasuk Chavav Hashem Nisancha. Af al pi shohayu koifrim bedivrei navi ha'emes moedim hayu ki hoya ki Hashem hasibo harishayna. Even though they denied the words of the Nevi MS. So here's something very interesting in the Radak. They still did know the MS. They still know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Sibo HaRishna. All things can be traced to Hashem. Hashem is the one who is the cause of all world events. The Zohar, so therefore he's coming to explain over here in Pasuk Chavav, Hashem Nisoncha Koyein Tachas Yehoyodah HaKoyein. He's asking the obvious question. Shemayahu is a koifer. Shemayahu is a Navi Sheker. He says things which are 100% keneged the will of Hashem. And yet when he talks to Tzefanya, he's saying, who is the one who appointed you as the Kohen Gadol? To whom do you owe the credit? Who gets the credit? The Ribbono Shel Olam. That's very nice, that's very true and very religious, but Shemayahu is the one who is leading Klal Yisrael away from Hashem. We see here people are full of contradictions. On the one hand, when it's convenient for them, they'll say, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem is the one who is the source of all bracha, you Tzefanya, you have been blessed to be the Kohen Gadol, and it's only thanks to Hashem, and now you have to silence all of the Nevi'i Emes. It's bizarre, it's a double standard, it's hypocrisy, and that's indeed part of the problem. Hashem Nisancha, Afal Pisho, Hoyu Kaifer, Bedivri Hanavi, HaEmes. Even though Shemayahu was a denier, Moedim Hoyu, there was still a contradiction in the fact that he did acknowledge, Ki Hashem Hasiba Hari Shaina, Hashem is the root cause of every event, everything that happens in this world. The Zohar Yehoyada, Lefish Hoyu Kain Gadol, why is he mentioning of Yehoyada? You are the successor to Yehoyada, because he was the Kain Gadol that he replaced. He was the successor. He amar tachas Yehoyada lios pikidim, that it is your duty under tachas Yehoyada. You have replaced Yehoyada, and part of your role is to appoint officers atav v'shar hakohanim in the bebeis Hashem, in the bebeis Hamidrash, k'moy bebeis Hashem. We're missing a hey. V'chein hanimsa. Part of your role as being Kohen Gadol is to prevent people, Kol Ish, Ulinavi hayu karim leganai mishuga. He's calling here the Nevi Emes. He's insulting them by calling them crazy people. Another example of why, I think, who's referring to Elisha or Eliyahu, one of the Nevi'im, we call them there, the Meshugah. So this was a derogatory term. Pasik, so he told them you should put Yirmiyah in a mapeches. V'yel ha-tzinoi ka-mapeches hu beis ha-soyhar. This is a prison. V'chein tegim yonason, kifta, the kippah. That's what Rashi quoted yesterday. V'divrei rabbeinu z'chon levracha, koinsin oisam l'kippah. Another example of the Gemara talks about when you cannot administer capital punishment. When there are too many technicalities why a person cannot be killed by Bezdin with a dal of Misa Bezdin, but Bezdin wants to get this person off the street, and Bezdin wants the person to be executed, they put him in a kippah. And the kippah was some type of restraint, and they would feed him barley. It would cause, there was a technique. It's not just they fed him barley, they would do some type of technique, some type of sequence of foods they would feed him, which would cause his stomach to explode and die indirectly. Too short to stand, too narrow to sit. So, and somehow, and when you ate, it caused some type of expanse, which caused the person to die, a miserable death. Hatsinoik is kli miskar liyodayim. It is some type of hand restraint. Arucha, Yirmiyah's crime is telling the people that they are going to be in Golus for a very long time. Arucha hi Golus. What's that word? This is pasuk chavches. What does it say in the word? Pirihen. The ichlu es pirihen, eat their fruits. Harishoin pirion v'zeh pirihen. It says the word pri twice in the pasuk. He's just telling us what the Messiah is. The first time it says the word fruit, it is. Where is the first time? I guess the previous psukim it said the word pirion v'zeh pirihen. All right, that concludes Vardak. Now we begin the next section. Now the next section, starting with Paraglamon, is a very important breakpoint in Sefer Yirmiyah. If we would have a Yirmiyah Aleph and a Yirmiyah Beis, it would probably be Yirmiyah Beis would probably start with Perek Lamed. Because starting now, we're going to have prophecies of Nechama, of comfort. You have to contrast Yirmiyah against Yeshaya. Chazal said that Yeshaya is Kula Nechemta. All the words of Yeshaya are words of comfort. That's why we learn Yeshaya and the Zayin, the Nechemta, the 7 weeks following Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah. This week is the last week of the Zayin, the Nechemta. It's very important to know this week. There are three different sets of Haftaras. There is the Gimel de Paranusa, three haftaras of punishment, Zayin de Nechemta, seven haftaras of comfort, and Gimel, then start the Gimel de Teyufta. De Teyufta is Teshuvah. Teshuvah, wait, is it Gimel de Teyufta? I forgot already. Is it three? How many? We have Parashas Shabbos Shuvah. Next week is Shabbos Shuvah. And in between Pesach and Shavuos, between Pesach and Sukkot, okay, I don't remember. Shabbos Shuvah, whatever. Okay, but Sefer Yeshaya and Chazal's understanding is all words of Nechama, and Sefer Yirmiyah and Chazal's understanding are words of Toichacha. The problem is that in Sefer Yeshaya, half of the Sefer are words of Toichacha. Until Perek Mem, I think until Perek Mem, Kemat, everything there in Sefer Yeshaya is words of Toichacha. And Sefer Yirmiyah, Chazal understand everything is words of Toichacha, yet starting now with Perek Lamed, almost towards the end, it's going to be words of Nechama. So why then do Chazal say Yeshaya is Nechama and Yirmiyah is Toichacha? The answer is, it's their natural temperament. That's where they. What we're learning now in the Perek Lamed is really against the grain of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was the person whose mahus, his essence, was to give Musar. When he had to give Nechama, it was something which was different. It was something that was not natural to him. Out of his comfort zone. And Yeshaya was just the opposite. Yeshaya's natural essence was a person of comfort. Hashem sent him on a mission to take him out of his comfort zone to give words of Toichacha. But we should not forget that each one really has 50-50. It really is a balance. And other Mepharshim say that even in the words of Necha... What? 200 years apart. 200 years apart. Yeshaya was way before. Chazal said that Yeshaya was on a much higher madrega, a much greater spiritual level than Yirmiyah. They don't really compare Yeshaya to Yirmiyah. They compare Yeshaya to his counterpart, to Yechezkel. Yirmiyah and Yechezkel lived in the same period of time. Yirmiyah said Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. In who, Yechezkel?
Yeah.
Was the son of Yirmiyah?
Was
despised. He was despised. Very interesting. Yeah. He discusses this. What's the Chazon David? What is the Chazon David? The one that
you said. You told me you saw it one time. I have it in the house. It's on all the Haftorahs.
On the Haftorahs.
Every Haftorah, he gives the history and when they lived and whatever. And he said Yechezkel was
the son of Yerubuzi, Lashon HaBas.
It's hard to
be
living the same time as Yeshaya.
No.
Yirmiyah and Yechezkel lived in the same time. Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. Yirmiyah said Nevuah in Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel said Nevuah in Bavel, in Chutz Liaretz, in Bavel. Yeshaya lived 200 years before. Now the contrast between, this is a very important concept, the contrast between these two periods of time can be seen in the two different Haftaras. We lay in the Haftara of the Maisa Merkava twice.
Right.
We lay in it in Yechezkel on Shavuos. When we lay in the first night of Shavuos and early in the morning, Yelein Yisrael. So then Yelein the first parak of Yechezkel, the Maisa Merkava. And we also lay in the Maisa Merkava in Parshas Yisrael. In Parshas Yisrael, we lay in the Aseres Hadibros, we also lay in the Maisa Merkava. From Yeshaya. From Yeshaya. Yeshaya also described the Maisa Merkava. The Mepharshim take note that the description of Hashem's chariot in Yechezkel is much more elaborate than the description of the Merkava by Yeshaya in Sefer Yeshaya, which we lay in the Haftarah of Parshas Yisro. So the question is why? Why is the description much more elaborate? And the answer is because to Yechezkel, it was a novelty. Yechezkel was on a relatively speaking, compared to Yeshaya, on a lower spiritual level. So he's called a Ben Kefar, a village boy. When the village boy, you come to the city and you see the skyscrapers and you see all of the big buildings and all the technology, you're overwhelmed. Because out on the farm in the Midwest, you don't see these things. So you come to the city, you look up, and you see what's going on. It's unbelievable. You're in shock. But it's that's what Chazal say about Yechezkel. He was not accustomed to the grandeur, to the amazing things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the chariots, and to the whole vision of the Maisa Merkava. So when he saw the Merkava for the very first time, he was so overwhelmed, he described it in such great detail. Whereas Yeshaya is called a Ben Krach, a person who lives in the big city. Every day he sees the president's entourage pass. He lives in Washington. Every day you see the Secret Service, you see the president's entourage. It's no big deal. You see the big buildings. It's no big deal. So when he was given a vision and was told to describe the Maisa Merkava, he just said it in a few words because it was not a great novelty. When you ask a person who never saw a skyscraper, what does it look like? They'll go and write a book. When you ask someone who lives in the city, what does a skyscraper look like? They'll say, it's just something, which is a tall building. It's no big deal because it's not a novelty. So the point I want to make over here is that since over here we find Chazal explicitly contrast the life of Yeshaya versus the life of Yechezkel, Yeshaya was called a Ben Kerach, and it was no big deal. That's why his name was short. And Yechezkel was called a Ben Kfar, and it was on a much lower madrigal. He was not familiar with these things, so this was a bit greater novelty. And we also are aware that Yechezkel and Yirmiyah are partners. They were both living in the same time. As Rabbi Mayevsky said, Yechezkel was the son of Yirmiyah. They were living in the same time. So if we have a right to assume that Yirmiyah as well was on a much lower madrigal, relatively speaking, than Yeshaya. Now that also can explain why Yeshaya is a person whose essence is comfort. When you're on a higher madrega, you see things on a different level. When you're on a lower madrega, you don't understand things, and everything that you see in the prophecy is much more frustrating. There's a thing that, what?
I would just think, in terms of the time that they lived, it seems that Yirmiyahu was obviously right at the time.
The Korban.
And the Galus, that he'd be more into Nechama. Yeshayahu was giving prophecy 200 years in advance, so whatever Nechama was in his writings, he wasn't doing the people he was talking to weren't going to.
It wasn't relevant for them because it wasn't going to happen right away.
Exactly. You would think it would be more tochacha to tell the people.
Making a very good point.
It was, but the fact is that they had the opportunity to do tshuva still, to overturn the Gzeira, still in the time of Yeshayahu. But Yirmiyah, he wasn't telling them that you could do tshuva, but it's not going to stop the korban. It's going to happen regardless. So there was less of a nechama capability. You're going to go through a lot of bad times now. It's already done. Just reality.
I met the Rabbi Yelavin saying,
okay.
At one point, he said the goals would not come.
There was a possibility. There was always a possibility that things would not happen. Okay, but you're asking a very good question. You would think, well, Dr. Fuchs is that if Yeshayahu is living in the times when the Korban is not yet upon us, and he's giving them Musar, so he should be focused more on words of harsh words. And Yirmiyah that's living in the time of Korban, they need more. It's an interesting point. But you have to understand this general rule. The higher person, the higher madrega person is on, the more the person is able to see the good and the need for difficult situations. And difficult situations are therefore a greater purpose. There's a story, I think, with the Megal HaMukos. If not mistaken, the Megal HaMukos says that I don't remember the details, but it goes something like this. There was a person, I don't know if he said about himself or someone else, that he had a very difficult life, and everyone in his family, they were suffering very much. And he said that after I die, this individual said that after I die, I'm going to go to Shemayim, I'm going to go to the highest places in heaven, and figure out and find a reason, a solution to all of the kashas, all of the difficulties, why these things are happening. And then the person died, and nothing happened. Everything remained the same. And so the living survivor was Shoyel, requested in a dream that this person who died should come to him and explain to him, how come you have not done anything to answer all of the difficulties in our life? So he came to him in a dream, this is the way the story goes, and he said to him, you're right, I died, I went to Shemayim, I had all of these questions, why this, why that, and I kept on going higher and higher. And when I came to the highest level, I realized I didn't have any questions anymore. There were no questions. The higher you go, the more you come to realize that you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you realize everything is for a purpose. Yeshaya was in a much higher madrega. Even though he saw the Korban coming, but being that he was on a higher madrega, it did not affect him to make him to witness everything in terms of gloom and doom. His legacy is everything in Sefer Yeshayah are words of nechama. Whereas Yirmiyah, even though we're going to have now, I believe there are 18 sections, 18 different major sections of nechama, his legacy is gloom and doom. Because Yirmiyah lived at a later point in time, was on a lower madrega relative to Yeshaya, and when a person is not privy to the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you only see the hardship, the difficulty, and that makes it more difficult to see the Yad Hashem, and you're left with a taste of bitterness, which is the legacy of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah was known to be a person of Toychocha, not a person of Nechama.
I say that Nechama was the Yeshua before the Makkah. He gave him 200 years to
improve. That's what Dr. Fuchter was saying. Okay, Einach Nami. Okay, but the only thing is, at least to take away from this, is that when Chazal tell us all the words of Yeshaya are Nechama, all the words of Yirmiyah are Teichacha, this has to be understood. It's not to be taken literally, because basically half of each of these two Svarim includes the opposite of what Chazal say they are. We're now coming to Perek Lamed. We're going to into a series, 18 prophecies of very beautiful words of Nechama, referring to the time of Mashiach, and Milchemes Gog u'Magog, what's going to happen to the nations of the world, and Klal Yisrael is going to survive, and so on and so forth. And whereas, and so you have good things, even in Sefer Yirmiyah. All right, let's start. Hadavar Asher Hoya. This, I think, is also, it's the 11th. This is the 11th Nevuah from the beginning of the Sefer, and it begins in a series of 18. I want you to write the following message in a sefer. I want it to be preserved. The reason why he wants it to be preserved in Mepharshim says is because, just like in the very near future, everyone is going to come to the realization that everything that Yirmiyah predicted was true, so they should also be aware that all the words of Nechama, the coming of Mashiach, will also be true. It's going to hit them very, very soon, like a bolt, like a pile of bricks, like a bolt of lightning, that, wow, Yirmiyah was really on the mark. We have been told over and over that Yirmiyah is telling us lies. It's not going to happen. Every single thing Yirmiyah said was true. Then they're going to realize, the same way the words of Teichacha were 100% true, likewise, every single word of the Yirmiyah's Divrei Nechama will be true and will come in the right time. And therefore, these words have to be preserved in a book, so they'll always be able to look at it as a source of comfort. Now, what is the comfort? Here we go, Pasuk Gimel, Ki, Hine Yamim Bo'im Num Hashem, V'Shavti, I will restore Eshavus Ami Yisrael. I will return the captivity of my people, V'Yehuda, and also Yehuda, Omar Hashem. Now, when is this period referring to? Is it referring to the Tkuva the Bayis Sheni? It cannot be, because the Tkuva the Bayis Sheni, the Aseres Hashvatim, did not return. The only ones who returned were Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. Only a small percent of those people who wanted to return. When it says here Shavus Ami Yisrael, that's referring to the Malchus of Yisrael, which includes the Aseres Hashvatim. This did not happen in the near future in 70 years. So obviously we're referring over here to the time of the ultimate Gula, the times of Mashiach, or some of the commentators want to suggest is that really it was meant to be when the time of the Bayis Sheni was rebuilt, it was meant to be the Gula Shlema with the return of the Aseres Hashvatim. It's just that the people were not worthy, and being that they were not worthy, it did not happen. But this really could have been fulfilled in 70 years. Amar Hashem, V'hashivoisim el aretz, I will restore them to the land Asher nesati lavoisam v'reishuha, and they will inherit it. Let us see these two psukim, starting with Pasuk Aleph and the Mitzvah Stavid. Pasuk Beis, Asher dibarti elecha, heim hadvar mamurim b'mikros shalachrav. We're now going to record the words that Hashem said. Uchmay shakasov eile hadvarim, ulefi sheikhtavim achar sheyidaber elav. And since these words will be written after Hashem relays them to Yirmiyah, l'cheinamar asher dibarti, it's even, that was the past tense, I have spoken, but really it's the future. That's very common, that we write words of prophecy in the past tense, even though they have not yet happened. El Sefer, Al Sefer, the Karu Sefer, Shem Soifoi, Sha'achar Shichtoiv, Yihye Sefer. When you conclude writing all of the words, it will be a complete book. V'chein V'tachani Kemach, after you grind it, it will be flour. Right now it's not flour, but when the product is concluded, it's flour. V'shavti Yeshavus Oshe B'hashked V'nucha, I will return them in with security and with peace. As bnei hashavi el ami, my children who are in captivity, bnei hashavi, the children who are in captivity, my children who are in captivity, el ami Yisrael v'Yehuda, shal ami Yisrael v'Yehuda, v'hi hagu'ula ho'acharoina b'mei hamashiach. So the Mitzudos makes it very clear. We refer to Olam Gula, which is in the Loimar, l'chein kosav adavam b'sefer l'man yikru v'yikavu alecha, they will yearn for it. let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Gimel says, Ki hine yamim boyim v'loy toymar lama echtevenu, ki yoivdu kulam v'ein karebo v'ein zocher od. Don't say, the reason why it's necessary for it to be written is because this is really going to happen. Because days indeed, ki hine yamim boim, days are coming. And they have to be prepared, they have to know how to, in the words that we're going to have over here, they're going to be able to learn from it what to do when this period happens, when Mashiach comes. Since the coming of Mashiach is a reality, and in this message there are going to be messages, there are going to be instructions what to do when Mashiach comes, therefore it's necessary for it to be preserved. Radak, Pasik, Aleph, Hadavar HaShahoya El Yirmiyahu, Bivur. Everything here is simple, no need for any explanation. Pasuk Beis, Koyim Hashem Es Kol Advar Masher Dibarti Alecha Perish Asher Ani Medaber Ata. Even though it's written in the past tense, it really refers to what I'm about to tell you now. Ki Al Eila Hadvar Ma'amar Kama Yish Amar Ve'Eila Hadvar Masher Dibar Hashem V'Gomer Ve'Amar Shtich Levein B'Sefer Ki Heim Advarim Shasidim Lavoi B'Achris Hayamim. Radak is similar to the Mitzudos, referring to the time of Mashiach. The Amram Lo Samach Leput Anus Shamar L'Mala. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu instruct Yirmiyah, give over to Yirmiyah words of comfort immediately after Perek Lamites, which concluded 11 different prophecies of Puranus? Lefi Shezos HaParsha Lihios Nechomo LiYisrael Shohayu Ba'Oys HaHadar Ki Kamo, this is what I mentioned to you before, Ki Kamo Sheyiru SheTiskayim HaPuranus Bekarov. Just like they're going to realize, they're going to acknowledge that the Puranus has been fulfilled 100%, Kain Yedu, they should be aware, SheTiskayim HaNechomo HaGedoyla BiAcharis HaYamim, that the Nechomo will be fulfilled at the end of days. This is exactly what we are so familiar with from the end of Masechta Makos, when Rabbi Akiva saw the fox coming out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, he laughed. Because now that the prophecy of Tzion Sada Techoresh has been fulfilled, we can be certain the prophecy of Ben Berechia will be fulfilled. Od Yeshu Zekeinim Zekeinais Berechavos Yushalayim, and that will also be fulfilled. So therefore, it's the same exact thing that when there's a fulfillment of a prophecy, even if Rachmana Litzlan, it is not a good prophecy, it's an unpleasant prophecy, but that itself is a source of strength, a source of nechama, because it's a yidiyah, it's an awareness that other prophecies are on the way to be fulfilled as well. Next pasuk in the Radak. El Sefer Kmo Bis Sefer, preserve these words in the book. B'chein v'el ha'aron titin esoedus Kmo uve aron. Pasuk Gimel Ki hine yamim ba'im la'asid limos ha'moshiach Kmo sh'amar v'shavti yeshivus ami Yisrael v'Yehuda u'migolus bavelo shavu elo Yehuda u'binyamin shagolu sham. As we said before, the way that we know that these psukim are referring to the times of Moshiach is because it says Shavus Ami Yisrael, and that cannot refer to the Golus, the Gula of the Bayesheni, because this did not happen. The only ones who returned was Binyamin and Yehuda. Let's now begin Pasuk Dalit. Here are the following words of comfort, and there are a lot of instructions. Inside the Sukkim, there are instructions exactly how we should conduct ourselves when Mashiach comes, what are the signs. Ki koi amar Hashem kol charada shomanu. We're going to hear the sound of terror. Pachad ve'ein shalom. There are two different expressions, there's charada and pachad. The difference between the two is charada is a fear which is accompanied by the shaking of the body. Trembling. The body shakes. Pachad, the body does not shake. You'll ask, which one is worse? They're both different. Because when a person, sometimes, charada obviously is such a terror where the entire body shakes. But if the body is shaking, that also means that the person is in control. There's a very great degree of pain. There's a great degree of pain, but if the body is moving, it means the person is still in a state of consciousness to some degree. Pachad is an overwhelming fear, where the body shuts down. Shock. Pachad can also be associated with shock. So on the one hand, it's different. What? It's a different type of fear. Charada, the body is shaking. Pachad. Yitzchak is the one that had both. Yitzchak, Yaakov Avinu testified that he's going to swear in the name Pachad Ovi Yitzchak. When Yitzchak, Yaakov wanted to swear, the way he defined the essence of his father was by calling his father the Pachad Yitzchak. On the other hand, when Esav came in to take the brachos, it says, and then Yaakov came in, Vayechrad Yitzchak Charada Gedoyla Ad Ma'od. So we see that the one that encompassed both midos of Charada and Pachad was the Yitzchak. If you want to understand what exactly is the difference between the two, obviously from the context you get a little bit of a glimpse, because you see that when Yaakov Avinu, when he was contrasting the relationship between Esav and Yaakov, he realized that the brachos were meant to go to one son and went to a different son. There he expressed, there are different ways to look at it. When he wanted to acknowledge the passing on of his legacy, let's look at it from that point of view. From the point of view, when Yitzhak Avinu had a mission to transmit the Messiah to the next generation, to look what's going to be the future, to prepare for the future. And when he realized that he may have mishandled, he may have made a mistake in directing the next generation, the way he expressed himself was, Vayechrad Yitzchak Charado Gedoyla Ad Ma'od. On the other hand, when Yaakov is looking back to the previous generation, is he loyal in preserving the legacy that has been handed down? Then it's expressed with the word Pachad. When you're looking to the future, it's Charada. When you're looking to the past, have you succeeded in your mission in going back to the past? The term used is Pachad. When Yaakov Avinu wanted to make a shvuah in the legacy of his father, have I been loyal to my father's teaching? He said, my father is defined with the word Pachad. When Yitzchak is looking to the future, have I transmitted the brachos to the right child? Then his expression is Charada. Okay, these are just little bits of information which obviously require much more understanding, which I do not know, but just want to throw out these two things because it's unique in how often do you have a pasuk where you put together Charada and Pachad together. We also have to mention something, that these two words are very important here when we're referring to the time of Mashiach, because we all know the famous Chazal that Mashiach will only come in the Zechus of Yitzchak. At the end of days, Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to Klal Yisrael, is going to say to Klal Yisrael that you're not deserving of redemption. And Hashem will go to Avraham, and Hashem will say to Avraham, your children have sinned. And Avraham will say, if they've sinned, so what could you do? So just let them fade away. Hashem was very disappointed. Hashem then goes to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. And Yaakov also says, no, what could we do? And then finally, Hashem goes to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak says, let's make a calculation. How long does a person already live? He only lives for 70 years. Half the time he sleeps. He goes to the Beis HaKisei. And other times he dominates. And he makes in the whole calculation. And the end is, it's only 3.5 hours. 3.5 hours of a day. Is the person really responsible for his actions? And then he says to Hashem, Pal Giolai, Pal Giolach. We'll split. I'll accept half of it upon myself, and you'll accept half. So it is Yitzchak, according to Chazal, that demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has a duty to redeem them and protect them and guarantee that they make it to the times of Mashiach. It is Yitzchak. And the Gemara actually quotes Psukim, that in the elder and in the young one there is no seichel, there is no wisdom. It's only in Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the one who came to their aid. And here we see, when we open up the psukim that are going to describe the time of Mashiach, Milchemes Goyim u'Magog, the two terms that are used are Charada and Pachad, which are two terms that are used specifically in reference to Yitzchak, because the Yitzchak over here is the one that's going to be involved in making sure that we make it to the times of Mashiach. So there's going to be a charada, shamanu pachad v'ein shalom, there's not going to be peace. Let's see further what this means to shalu no ru'u. Hashem says to Yirmiyah, I want you to go out and ask, im yoyled zohar, does a zohar ever give birth? There's no such thing as a male giving birth to a child. Maybe today. What?
Last week,
a male gave birth.
Yeah, there's an article.
They had an article yesterday where the first child was born from three parents.
That's something else.
Something else. Okay, so I don't know what all this means.
Gender fluid, as I would say.
Just the mitochondrial.
It's not really three parents. It's really only relatively just certain genes they take out and they replace the damaged genes. Right. It's really two parents. Right. Halacha, they're not going to acknowledge three parents. No way. Okay.
They had a male
where they put an embryo, they put a womb inside of a male, and the male gave birth. Shalu naruug im yoyled zohar madur isi chol gever yodov al chalas. So therefore Hashem is asking, if you look at society, if you look at in a healthy society, the only ones that are in a healthy society, the only ones that are in a state of pain are women in labor. When a woman gives birth to a child, so she is, it's a very painful experience. Men do not suffer from this experience. Why then, when I look out into the street, do I see men shaking, their pain is equivalent to the pain that a woman experiences during labor. This is not normal. The only reason why men are shaking and experiencing such tremors, such pain, is because they are being tortured. They're being tortured psychologically, they're being tortured physically by the events that are happening at the time of Gog Umag. The world is collapsing. The world is collapsing, and men are feeling the suffering that is normally experienced by a woman. Go out and see, im yolad zohar, does a man ever give birth? And of course not. It's a rhetorical question. If so, madua ra'isi kol gever, why then do I see every man yodav al chalatzav, his hands are on his loins, kayo leido, like a woman in labor, v'nefchu kol ponim liye rakon, all faces have turned jaundice, all faces have turned green from the fear, the pachad, the terror that is coming to the world. Pasuk Zayin, Hoy ki gadol hayoyim hahu me'in kamahu. That day of Melchemes Gog Umagog is great like none other. The ace, sorry, he li Yaakov. It is a very great time for Yaakov. Umimeno yivoshea. But here are the beautiful words of comfort. But yet, umimeno. From that tzara, yivoshea, I guarantee you will be spared. The chayon will be by Yemhu on that day, Hashem tzvakos eshbor. I will break ulo mial tzavarecha. I will break the yoke from upon your neck, the yoke of the shibud malchios. Umosirosecha, and I take the cords that are tying you down and will be severed. The lo yavdu va'od zarim, you will no longer serve any foreign nation. The avdu, who then will you serve in their place? Eis Hashem Elokeichem, your God. The Eis David Malkam, Asher Akim Lohem, which I will establish for you. Who is this David Malkam? There is a machloikis in the Mefarshim, either it means mamish or remes to Techias Hanesim, that David HaMelech on this day will come back from the dead. And David will lead Klal Yisrael. And others say this is just a nice expression to refer to the Melech HaMashiach, who is a descendant of David HaMelech. Okay, let's see some of the Mefarshim, starting with Pasuk Dalet and the Mitzudos David. El Yisrael, Al Yisrael, the Al Yehuda. Pasuk Keki Koy Asher Koyom Hashem Hinei Shamanu Kol Charada Fi Be'eis Bo Goy Guma Goy. Now we're going to describe the Charada, the terror that will come at the days of Melchemes Goy Guma Goy. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. This is something which is unique to the Mitzudos. He's injecting that this is the topic of discussion here is Milchemes Gog Umagog. Pachad v'en sholom kofal dov milmshones v'l'goydol ha-pachad she'ye'oz. There is going to be a very great intense degree of pachad. Shalu no ru'u, omar b'derech melitza. This is nothing more than an expression. Shalu ato lanoshim ru'u ma ha-naseh ba'olim. What is taking place in the world? Im derech ha-zoch l'ledes bonim li'os lochev li'oleida. Did it ever happen in the history of the world that a man would be in a state of labor? Pain like a woman who gives birth to labor? This never happened, such a thing. If so, why then do I see men wrapping their hands around their loins the same way a woman would wrap her hands around her loins when she is in labor in pain? When labor pains come, why does everyone look green? When a woman gives birth, the color of her face changes. Hoi, woe, what's the woe? Yesh lehisoinein ki hayoima huye godol ma'od. Ratzoloimar, tsorois, gidoilois, umerubois, yihi yu os. Me'ein kamahu, ritzonoloimar, kamosh, anuroim bosh, ein kamahu, like none other. Lachain yikra godol, vidugmoso, me'ein kamocha, Hashem. And the dugmas, there's no equivalent. The a sara, oz yiyeh a sara liyishol avol min atzara hahi. Although there is a tzara, teitzi le'oy teshua, there will be salvation. Pasik ches, eshbar ulo, on that day I will break the yoke. Ol hakastim eshbar mi'al tzavarecha, v'kashurei ritzuo sa'ol atik v'asir mimcha. I really don't know why he says the kastim, because the kastim, we're jumping back to the time of Bavel. He's switching to the time of Bavel. When, if we're talking during the time of Milchemes Goig u'Magog, who says the kastim will be a player in the Milchemes Goig u'Magog? I do not know. Maybe he's switching back now over here. Maybe you quote what? Yeah. A censored version, and you want to say it was the Romans, Edomim, or the Ishmaelim, whoever. Okay, very possible. But over here it says the Kastim, which obviously is raising a red flag. Why does he say Kastim? You want to say that he's switching back now to the time of the Golos of the Bayesheni in 70 years. Maybe that's what he means. Pasik test, the Avdu Rak Es Hashem Yavodu, when that day comes they will serve Hashem. The Ace David Malkom, who is this? This is not David Mamish, according to the Mesudos. Zehu Melech HaMashiach HaBo Mizer David. Asher Akim Lohem, Asher Amin Aleihem, I will bring for you the Melech HaMashiach. Let us see Rashi. Rashi starting... Yes. Kiddush Levana, we refer to Mashiach, refer to David. David Melech.
One of the phrases we say is,
David Melech Yisrael, but here that's only a tefillah. Here it's a pasuk. Let's see over here Rashi. Kol charada shamanu yesh poshim al shemuas bavel shayu charedim mimeno oisam shugal sham. Now, according to Rashi, Rashi wants to say over here, Rashi is going to provide for us both interpretations. First, he says al derech pshat, we are not referring to Moshiach. Rashi, in his first interpretation, interprets everything here in reference to the Golus of Bavel in 70 years. When this refers to the Melchama of Daryovesh Hamadi, when Daryovesh Hamadi attacked and killed Baal Shetzar on that fateful night. The only survivor from that family was Vashti. Vashti was the daughter, was a little girl, was a little toddler. At that time, she was in the palace on that night when they were celebrating. It's been 70 years since Nebuchadnezzar became the Melech, the Malchus of Babel. It's 70 years, and there's no sign whatsoever of the Malchus of Babel going anywhere. They celebrated, and on that night, Daniel, there was the handwriting on the wall. Daniel interpreted as a reference to the end, that the Babel is coming to an end, and there's a reference to the coming of Mashiach. And at that fateful night, there was a surprise attack by the Modim, led by Daryovesh Hamadi and his son-in-law Koresh of Paras. And that night the Malchus of Bavel came to an end. According to Rashi, that is the moment that we are referring to in this pasuk. We're referring to the moment of the defeat, the fall of the Nebuchadnezzar. It's going to be a day, ki gadol hayoy mahu me'ein kamahu. According to the parish, that would have been a very dangerous time for Klal Yisrael. That's what it's not, I don't know more than that. Why at that moment would have been very dangerous? But Klal Yisrael will survive. Yesh poishim al shemuas bavel, on the report of bavel. Shayu charedim imena oisam shagolu sham. The people who went into Galus were terrified what the Babylonians will do to them. Umedrash agada al mulchemes goigu magoik. According to the Medrash, this refers over here too. Okay, so according to the presentation, they're going to Klal Yisrael, they're going to Golus, they're terrified. What are they going to? What are the Babylonians going to do to Klal Yisrael? And they will survive. According to Rashi's second interpretation, that's what the Mitzudas is referring to. Muhammad Chagum Magog, Pasuk Vav, Im Yoilet Zachar, Im Derech LeZacharim Loledes Sheyachzeim Chavolim Kileda. Did you ever hear of a man give birth to a child and he should be overcome with labor pains? Chalotzav, kmo masnav, loins, same word, chalotzav is the equivalent to masnav, his loins. Hayoim ahu, yoim harigas bal shetzar. Here's what I was referring to. On that day when Bavel comes to an end, when Balshetzar, the third king of Bavel, is killed, umapeles Bavel, inyin acher yoim apeles goig. Goig will come to an end, and that will usher in the coming of Mashiach. Let's see the Radak, starting with Pasuk Dalit, the Eila Hadvarim, Heim Asidim Kamosha Pirashnu, Pasuk He, Kikoyim Hashem Kol Charada Shamanu, Dover Ze Yoimu, El Hagoyim, Oz Bimos HaMashiach. This message is directed to the Goyim at the time of Mashiach. Shalu No Ru'u Im Yolid Zohar, Hakal Mize Hifil Hapoyel, Beroiv Al Ho'isha. Okay, so this expression, I don't know how to translate these words, but this expression is usually used in reference to a woman. Af al pi shehu lepamim al hazachar, amar al haroiv im yoyled zachar kolaymar, ki hazachar moylid ve'eno yoyled. A man causes a woman to become pregnant, but does not give birth. For ishi hayoledes v'hayoledes b'chavolim, and she's the one that gives birth to labor pains. In kei madua re'isi kol gever yodov al chalotzav, the man is the one that causes the woman to become pregnant, but he does not suffer the labor pains. Why then do I see every single man is putting his hands al chalotzav ki yoleda? V'chinu keva hi? Who is a man, a female? Sheyesh lo chavolim, ulefi shechevli yoleda chazokim mechavolim acherim, since there is no greater pain in this world than the pain of labor. Lefichach omar zeh, v'himshel chevli hanoshim meirov hatzara shetavo'om lechevli hayoleda. We're trying to express the intense degree of pain that mankind will suffer at this period of time. Liyeh koin, in addition to the pain they're going, their face will be discolored. Ki beroiv hachavolim yonus hadam mehaponim v'heim yiroikim, the blood is depleted from the face and the face changes colors. Hoi ki gadol ki me'ein kamahu bin noah hayud. So here the word is me'ein. There is an extra yud, me'ein kamahu. There is nothing like this. Me'ein kamahu. Okay, bin noah, I don't know what this means. Bin noah hayud. He's referring to the word me'ein kamahu. There is none like this. V'esar hiliyakoy v'zeyye b'muchemetz ha'gumagu shatiyah l'fishot sarul Yisrael v'chei nemar b'nevuas Yishayahu chavi kima'at. So he's coming over here to match this pasuk with the famous pasuk that we say in Yishai. We actually read this in the Haftorah. Chavi kima'at, hide yourself for a few moments, roga, ad yavar zo'am, until the anger passes. V'nemar b'nevuas Daniel, another nevuah, here the Radak is doing us a favor and he's matching up all the various prophecies, the same exact reference point. This is a tradition that all of the Nevi'im, they see the same Nevuah. The only difference is their vision, their cloud of vision. And everyone expresses what he sees in different words. So here they're all seeing exactly the same moment in time, And we have three examples of different ways to express this exact same nevuah. What it says here in Yirmiyah, what it says in Yeshayah, Chavimat, and when it says in Daniel, everyone has their unique language, the unique signoin, the unique style in describing exactly the same thing. The Gra says that the Melchemes Skoigu Magog will take exactly 13 and a half minutes. He has some calculation. 13 and a half minutes. He already predicted how many years ago the Gra lived, 250 years ago. Predicted.
1797, I think, or something like that.
So 215 years. So 16, whatever, 220 years. So he predicted that the whole thing, the whole Melchemes Skoigu Magog will last 13 and a half minutes.
Who said this?
The Gra, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, that's what it sounds like. How long does it take a missile to travel from one end of the world? Less than 12 and a half. Well, the fallout until the whole the launching, whatever it is, who knows what it's going to be.
Which one is Goig and which one is Magog?
If we knew which one was Goig and Magog, that's the age-old question. Who is Goig and Magog? It's musical chairs. Every generation, like just like in every generation, there's a person, or there are many people that are right to be the Mashiach. Likewise, in every generation, there are many nations that are going to be, this one will be going, this will be Magog. It all depends when Mashiach will come. Mele will be adjusted in the time. Now, Pasuk Ches, V'hoyu ulo, the yoke, oil, the yoke, Goy Gumagog, oil, kol, Goy V'goy, the yoke of Goy Gumagog, or the yoke of every single nation, Shayu Nesim Ulam Aleichem, Begolus, who have attached their yoke upon Klalius Sholengolus, the Tirgum Yoidasan, its bar, it will be broken near the yoke, Amemaya, Mitzavorechon, from your neck. The Amrut Savorecha, Umosirosecha, it says your neck, it says the cords, the Oimirbo, Ki Kainer, Hamikul Dabapam, Lunechach, Apam, Sholenechach. One place it says Savorecha, and sometimes it says, it says it in the third person or second person, now referring directly. So that's the comment. Sometimes you refer to directly, sometimes you refer to Klal Yisrael indirectly. Pasuk Tes, V'avdu Asher Akim Lohem, and now they're no longer going to serve the kings of the world. They're going to serve Hashem and David Malkom. Who is David Malkom? So he says over here the two interpretations that we mentioned before. The first one is a reference to Techiyas HaMesim. What more beautiful thing can you have in the Yirmiyah, words of Nechama, than Techiyas HaMesim? Efshar Sh'omar Zel David HaMelech Sheshei Kaimenu Me'afaroi Be'ez Techiyas HaMesim. It's to be taken literally. David HaMelech himself will return and guide Klal Yisrael. The Efshar Sheyoymar Al HaMashiach Beno, whoever Mashiach will be, the Yikra Shemo David. I just want to go back to the idea that we discussed before with this beautiful Radak. The Radak we mentioned before, that Yeshayah and Yirmiyah, all the words of Yeshayah are words of comfort, whereas all the words of Yirmiyah are words of Toichacha. Problem is, in Yeshayah there are 40 prakim of Nechama, the 40 prakim of gloom and doom, and in Yirmiyah there are many prakim of words of Nechama. So the answer is, we gave a number of answers, but another one of the popular answers is, even when you want to describe good things or you want to describe bad things, you could describe it with a flavor of either good or bad. You could be describing the worst scenario, but the way you describe the worst scenario, you can say it in a pleasant way. Or you can be describing something very pleasant. If you describe it in a very harsh, you can describe it in a harsh way. It's a matter of nuance of expression. Here we are describing something very, very horrible, but we're going to say, do not worry. Look how Yirmiyah describes. The words he describes are ki gadol hayom hahu me'in hoy. First of all, the word hoy is not a very nice word. Ki hoy means you're finished. Okay, you might as well close up shop. Ki gadol hayom hahu me'ayin kamohu. There's no equivalent to how bad it's going to be. V'eis tzorah hi liyakov. It's a time of great sorrow for Klal Yisrael. So far, in this pasuk, so far, it's just misery and gloom and doom. And then he says, but don't worry, umimena yivosheya, you'll survive. you're saying something very nice that you're going to survive. That's comfort. Okay, this pasuk counts on the chart of Yirmiyah as a pasuk of comfort. Only problem is we only got to the comfort, the very last two words, after we already had a heart attack of reading what it said in the first reading of the pasuk. The Radak, when he describes exactly the same moment, exactly the same vision, again, there's only one nevuah. Every Navi is seeing the nevuah from their angle, and it's not subject to time. Nevuah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hoya hoya v'yia. Yeshaya lived 200 years before, he saw the same exact thing. And how did he describe exactly this same moment? The way he described it in the Radak is, Chavi, hide, kima'at rega, just for a moment, ad yavar zoam, until the zoam passes. The harshest word in this pasuk is zoam, and that appears at the very, very end. And he tells you, you'll be okay. Hide, shelter yourself. It's just for a moment, just for a moment. You see the difference? You're dealing over here with exactly the same event, and Yeshaya is saying it in the most nuanced, the most comforting expression, whereas Yirmiyah, when he's giving the Nechama, holy, the world's coming to an end. It's never been so bad, and it's going to be a very... But don't worry, you'll be okay, you'll survive. You'll survive. So we see over here, now you get a taste of why Chazal say everything that comes out of the mouth of Yirmiyah is Teichacha. Even the good things. Because the way he says the good things is with gloom and doom. Whereas Yeshaya, everything that he says is words of comfort. Even when he describes the Ezam, it is padded with beautiful words of comfort to shelter us from the harshness. It's a very big talent when Rachman al-Sal, you have to give someone bad news. You have to know how to say it the right way. Or you have to know how not to. Like I once had the experience. We had a friend, and he had a seizure, and we took him to the hospital, and we had to call his parents to tell him that the kid, their son, is in the hospital, and the parents knew that the child is. This is not the first time this happened. This happened many times, and it can be very, very serious. So you go, you call the parents, and you say to them, "We're in the hospital." So all the parents need to hear, "You're in the hospital." So the first thing you say is, "Hi, we're calling. Everything is the first thing you say is everything is fine. Everything is fine. Your son is healthy. He's fine. I'm here with your son, and he's healthy. He's going to talk to you. But you should know that we're in the hospital now. There's a way of saying something. I mean, the verb should demand mode, and this is a technique in a crisis management. Yeah. Yes, of course.
So, as mentioned, Rabbi Rietti was playing the Kingsway, the Spit Shabbos.
Yeah.
So he does a lot of things, entertaining, very entertaining. And he said a joke in terms of this CEO for a big company was out of town for a few days. He had just a new secretary before he went out of town. He came back, and the secretary said, "Oh, sir, I have a message for you." And he goes, "Okay." And she goes, "We'd like the good news or the bad news first." He goes, "Okay, go start with the good news." "Well, the good news is you got a call from your doctor, you'll be dead in 3 days." He goes, "That's the good news. What's the bad news?" "That, well, the message was from 3 days ago."
Okay. Let's see. Let's do one more pasuk. Oh no, it's already past. Right, it's already a little bit late. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Pasuk Yud.